Welcome to the Metaphysical Martini Show, where wit and wisdom come together to bridge the gap between the spirit realm and the physical world.
With Ani Avedisian, the Mad Shaman, a production of CosmicReality.com.
Hello, everyone. I'm Ani Avedisian. Welcome to Metaphysical Martini. 3 parts spirit, 1 part rational mind. Add 2 drops of optimism, give it all a good hard shake and pour, dress it with the olives of grace and empathy. Sit back, sip slowly, and contemplate the wonder of cosmic co-creation. And a hearty hello to everyone out there. Hello, hello, hello. Today is December the 31st, 2025. We have spent the last decade pointing to the swamp, discussing the contents of the swamp, exposing the fetid nature of the swamp and the gross indecency of its inhabitants. I'm not going to lie to you people. The exposure was necessary and overdue, but due to the lack of general awareness of Earth's inhabitants, it has been a decade of doom and gloom and frustration and extreme fuckery, really. What have we learned? Well, we have learned that the American dream was hijacked by the self-professed overlords of planet Earth, who keep their greedy, cloying, slobbering, mangy pets in the aforementioned swamp. And those pets would be anyone who can be bought and sold for money. And gosh, my darlings, it seems that the robot in Westworld was correct when she uttered the famous line, "Given the right amount of money, any human relationship can be altered." Now, darlings, before we get stuck into the meat of the show, and before my exceptionally well-prepared cocktail tiddles my giggly bits, let me wish you all a very happy new year. May it be healthy, may it be wealthy, and may 2026 bring us closer to the one thing we all desire. And what is that, Ani? Well, I'll tell you. Perfect alignment with all that is. A state of self-realization. A world with no religion to confuse and divide us. A world with no left and right mood swings. A world in which each sovereign soul is guided not by shadow government propaganda, but by the inner voice that is source, the allness, the I am. And whatever it is too great to have just one name, and that is why we are its many and myriad manifestations. Don't you think we should act accordingly next year? I think we should. Welcome back, Martini Heads. I raise my glass to you. Lovely to be with you once again. If you're joining us for the first time, a very warm welcome to you. But be advised, this show is politically incorrect so as not to erode the intellect. Martini Heads come from all walks of life, but we share in common a spirit-centered sensibility and a great love for our American nation, and a desire to return to common sense and common courtesy, common decency. We also share a love for metaphysical mixology, and that means we love a drinky poo now and then. In fact, let me take a sip of today's spiritual spirit potion and see if it's a winner or a sinner. Hold on, darlings, don't go away. Sipping is happening. You know, we can talk more about that towards the end of the show, but I quite like that. What do we have for you on today's show? I have no idea, but let's begin, as we almost always do, with quack, questions, answers, and comments, and we'll follow that up with some superlative poetry written and vocalized by the one and only me, Ani Avedisian, mad shaman, mad poet, and just mad, really. We might slip something else in before we end with the cocktail of the day. I have no idea, because it's New Year's Eve. I mean, I'm leaning towards a tarot card, but, you know, I don't know. I've been very busy, and to be honest, I'm a tad disoriented today, so let's see how it goes. And I will try to sip this drink as slowly as possible, but it is quite delicious. So, you know, it will be what it will be, and you'll just have to live with it. It's New Year's Eve, people. Let's all have a great time. Now, let's get on with the show, and let's begin with quack questions, answers, and comments. Friends, if you would like to share the contents of your noggins with martini heads across the known universe, send your emails to me, Arnie at arnieavedisian.com, or via snail mail to Cosmic Arnie, P.O. Box 714, Wilsonville, Oregon 97070, USA. And don't forget to let me know if and how you wish to be identified, or I shall be forced to refer to you as Omit Personal Details. All righty, darlings, let's shake up the fishbowl of perpetual perplexity and see what pops out. Shaky, shaky, oh, shaky, shaky. I'm getting better on the kazoo. What should we do first? Let's pick this one. This is from Benji, who I think we've heard from before, many times, actually. Benji lives in Naples, and Benji lives somewhere different every time. What a world traveler you are, Benji. Anyway, Naples, this is the Naples in Florida. Benji says, "Dear Arnie, what is the simplest explanation you can give to define inflation? Also, is it necessary?" Inflation, right. You all know that I studied like theology and stuff, right? Not finance. Okay, well, I could make it very simple and say it's a persistent increase in the level of consumer prices, or a persistent decline in the purchasing power of money, which would be a very good dictionary definition. Is that too simple? The whole thing with inflation, and I actually, this is important now that I think of it. It's important because we citizens are not involved enough with the minutiae of how our country is run. So, inflation talks about rising prices for goods and services, or increases generally in the overall cost of living. And they measure it using this thing called CPI, Consumer Price Index. And I believe there's a PPI, a Producer Price Index. And what those things do is they track prices paid by we, the consumers, and also they measure that against the wholesale prices, right? Now, economists, at least when I was in school, economists told us that a mild inflation means that we have a slightly healthier economy because it reflects some sort of demand of stuff and services, and it means that wealth is growing. It tells us that if we have mild inflation, it encourages consumer spending and investment. And that's good for fueling more growth. And then, you know, competition amongst companies for work, and then people go to work for those companies, and we get wage increases. And we're also taught that inflation can be caused by population growth because you get more people, there's increased demand, and you don't have the products to match that. But really, we know most of it is about government monetary policies. And we'll throw in shortages of raw materials and stuff, could possibly, of course, lead to inflation. But the governments, they're the ones that cause all this havoc, isn't it? I mean, who causes the increased spending? Who does the tax cuts? Who does the stimulus checks to influence the inflation? What does the Federal Reserve do? It can adjust the funds, the federal funds rate, you know? What am I trying to say? The Federal Reserve can adjust the rate at which we buy and sell, and that has a major impact on inflation also, because it makes borrowing a lot easier, or it makes it a lot more difficult because it's a lot more expensive. So, is there a good reason for inflation? I'll try and get into that in a minute. I don't think there really is. There is another type of inflation that we actually call shrinkflation. And that happens when the size of the product or the quantity is reduced, but the price remains the same. Now, my best example is when you go to get your chocolate bar at the store these days, it may cost the same, but it's smaller. And there's less stuff in packets. I've noticed this. I went to buy my favorite PG Tips tea bags the other day, and they're putting less tea in there, which is terrible. So that's the shrinkflation. You pay the same or a bit more, but you get what you always got. There's no increase in your services, and there's no quantity increase in what you're buying. Then apparently there's one other thing that we learned about. It's called stagflation, which I think is a mixture of the word stagnation and inflation. So stagnation is, like a stagnant pond. Nothing's happening. Everything's sluggish. In a business sense, we would say then perhaps that we're not producing at full capacity, or we don't have enough jobs. We haven't got enough people employed so that they can, give us the result that we want. Many reasons for that. And then there's, against inflation, which we've already discussed, is the prices of goods and services keep rising, making the overall cost of living a lot more expensive. And well, today, for a great many of us, virtually impossible to afford a decent standard of living. And of course, that stagflation is probably the worst of both worlds. But there is actually, according to economists, no easy fix to this. I think that there is a cure for out of control inflation and all the other flations. It's a very quick fix. And I do believe other libertarians have put this forward. Every time the government and its thousands of non-elected minions mess with we the people's economy, we drag them by their collars from their comfortable desks and beat them senseless, perhaps even threatening to fire a few of them and delete their pension funds for failing to protect we the people, which is the only purpose for government, in my opinion. That and some foreign relations stuff. Keep the country safe and deal with bothersome foreigners. So hopefully that helped. But perhaps it confused you more. I do my best, but if I really truly understood the world of finance, my own finances would be in much better shape. But that was your boarding school girl explanation on inflation and whether or not it's necessary. Okay, God, thank God. Let's move on from that. What else came in today? Oh, this came in from Mark. Hello, Mark, who lives in Oakland, California. What a brave soul he is. And he asks about the flood, the deluge 2.0. Is this something we can stop or steer away from, or work with Mother Gaia to ward it off, move it to another timeline? If not, what do you suggest, Arnie, we do if living in the way of its path? Because they're telling us that almost all of the USA West Coast is going to be flooded. Mark, darling, here's my thing on this. I do think we're going to have, I'll just call it geopathic changes, but I don't think it's going to be anywhere near what was predicted back, say, in 2012, when this whole ascension story came to be. I live on the West Coast. I live in Oregon, not too far from the water, and I'm certainly about a quarter of a mile from a very major river that has been known to flood. I'm really not bothered. I mean, this is where I am. I can't pack up and go. So here's my thing on that. Unless you are feeling deep inside a message that you are not safe where you are and that you should pack up and go inland, unless you actually have something like that, just go for it. I really believe that if we are in alignment within ourselves and we're happy with where our body is in our aura and how our mind governs everything, if we're cool with all of that and you're supposed to move somewhere, you'll know. I still know people who, when I came to them, how long have I been in the States now? 37, 38 years, something like that. I know people that came here, heard all these stories, and certainly some of them are the old Native American legends of the two mountains sleeping together. And I don't deny that that's a strong possibility. But they came and they went to Idaho and places like that, and they bought land in the middle of nowhere on bedrock and started to build it up. And that's wonderful that they did all that, but half of those communities now are diminished because people went, well, nothing happened, and now we might as well move back to the city and get some proper jobs. So I don't really have any advice because you are where you are. And if you feel that that's where you're meant to be, then whatever happens to that landmass is what's going to happen. All I would do, if I were you, I would do what I do. I programmed my dreams. And if there is some sort of tsunami event coming, something that is going to literally turn my suburb into a floating island or whatever, I'll pay attention to that. Other than that, I don't think we'll be repeating the stories of Utnapishtim and the Great Flood and Gilgamesh's of any of that really anytime soon. That's genuinely how I feel. Okay, let's take another question from our martini heads out there. And this is from Caroline, who lives somewhere, I'm sure, but she does not say. Dear Mad Shaman, would you care to comment on the newly exposed fraud by Somali invaders and deceivers in Minnesota? How do we fix this? And how do we make sure it never happens again? Would I like to comment on the Somali fraud? Oh, yes. Oh, yes, I would. I would very much like to comment on it. Let me have a drink and gather my thoughts, and I'll be very happy to share them with you. Hold on, darling. Sipping is happening. Gosh, that's much better than I thought, that drinky poo. So I don't know where you are listening, anywhere in the world. Everybody's from all over the place. But what Caroline is describing is something that we've known about, I think, since 2012, 2013. It's this thing called population replacement. People like David Icke and other well-known people have spoken about it for a great many years. Agenda 2020, Agenda 2030. If they don't do it by 2030, it'll be called Agenda 2040, then 2050. They want to destroy sovereignty and all ethnicity. And the way that they feel they can do this, and there's proof all around you, is to bring people from shithole countries with shithole cultures. In other words, cultures that are not compatible with Western values. I'm talking about Islam, of course, where men think they have a perfect right to stick their dick in any woman that they want, even if she's 9 years old. This is happening all over Europe. It is starting to happen in America. The population replacement. You bring all these people in, and then you go, well, they marry their first cousins and they breed like rabbits. But if you marry your first cousin, you're going to have deformed rabbits. Either way, they're taking over more of these mutated Islam people, bringing their children. There's a lot of people who are in Islam who are not mutated. I'm not talking about those. I'm talking about the scum of the earth that is being brought to Europe and to America and given money that should go to the ethnic population just so that they can vote for the people who want to stay in power. In England right now, that would be the Labour Party. Here in America, it would be the Democrats. So they have brought in all these Somalis. You should take a look at Somalia. There's not a lot of reasons why you would want to stay there. But they brought these people over, the white Americans, maybe some black Americans too, I don't know. But your American politicians brought these people over to America and set them up to commit fraud. They're running hundreds of daycare centers with no children in them, and they're getting money from the government to fund those daycares that are not daycares because they have no children in them. They're taking the money, which has now been proven to run into the billions, and they're giving it back to Somalia to the warlords. I don't know why anybody wouldn't have a problem with this. So, I mean, the sheer arrogance of these scumbags and the sheer arrogance of the Americans that sold their own people out. So that's the situation. How to resolve it? Well, first of all, we start by mercilessly prosecuting everyone, especially the American traitor politicians who screwed their own people for a few dollars. We screw them to the fullest extent of the law. I mean, the Americans, in my opinion, should be tried for treason and hanged. And I don't say that lightly. I would be happy to do the deed if asked. An example has to be made. And the Somalis, you know, those whose invasion of our country was facilitated by the deep state machinery. You know, remember, it's people like Tampon Tim Walz, the governor of Minnesota. They're not important people. They're just toys. They're playthings whose strings are jiggled by the overlords. The Somalis all need to have their bank accounts frozen and they need to be deported immediately, if not sooner. And should they try to return, they should be shot on sight. They have defrauded the American people of billions of dollars, taken it out of the country, and given it to warlords. WTF. Now, how do we make sure this never happens again? Okay, let me say it again, people. Get involved in your local politics and stop having suicidal empathy for people who come to this culture from shithole countries and hate our way of life, spit on our customs, rape and traffic our children, and steal American taxpayer dollars. So now that we know the scam, why are these people still walking down American streets? They should be scared shitless to show their faces. And it's not just Minnesota. If you have any Somali businesses in your hood, especially childcare, I would advise getting in there right away and investigating. This is our country. We are under no obligation to tolerate these scumbags coming over here and using America as their private money laundering operation. I have no option but to trust the greater plan in all of this. But let me just say this to Pam Bondi and company. For the love of God, woman, we need to see some handcuffs. We need to see some serious perp walks, and we need to see some serious jail time. And because the extent of the evil is so outrageous, I call for public executions. And not just sham shit like World War II. I want it done properly, and I want them all, every single one, out of here, and either back to their own countries, or in a cell for life, or in a box to decompose. America has a sacred purpose to unite the world in secular spirituality. If America falls, the planet falls. America will not fall on our watch, martini heads. Of that, I am sure. Why am I picking on the Somalis? Because it is in the, well, because you asked the question, Caroline, for a start, Caroline asked the question, but because it's in the billions. And if this doesn't convince people that population replacement with a view to dismantling America as a sovereign country is a thing, then those people will forever be NPCs, non-playing characters, and serve no useful purpose on planet Earth. They can be ignored, in my opinion, and allowed to go feral. Now, of course, we know it's not just the Somalis. There are many other populations that come to America and use it as a money laundering operation. When the old Soviet Union collapsed, oh my gosh, we had all sorts of Armenians and Russians and, coming in and going, my God, it's so easy to commit credit card fraud in this country. It's so easy to do this. So I think Americans don't understand something. There are people outside your country, our country, that have a different set of values to us. They think differently. In shithole countries, and I love that term, so I'm not going to stop using it. In shithole countries, fraud is a given. The policeman stops you, you bung him some money. You go to court, you bung the judge some money. You want a business contract, you bung somebody money. That's just a given. And that used to happen in the old Soviet Union as well. So I'm not just picking on the Somalis, it's everybody. But what they have done? Ooh, wow. I feel it on a deeply, as an American, I feel it on a deeply personal level. All right. Thank you for that question. And congratulations to the citizen journalist. His last name is Shirley. I think he and his dad went out and started exposing all this. Apparently, the DOJ has been sitting on this for like 10 years or more, or 13 years, I think, and not really done much about it. But you get out there as a citizen journalist, and all of a sudden it's all over X, it's all over, well, F, Facebook is rubbish, really, but it's all over X and Gab and all the other, non-restricted channels. And people, citizen journalist, don't be afraid to do it. It's a wonderful thing. We have one more question in the bowl today, and this is from Jamie in Santa Clarita, California. Dear Arnie, how do we fix the healthcare system in the USA? Oh my God, Jamie. Is there enough alcohol in the world? How much time do you have? I'll keep this one simple. I'll keep it short. Just like me, short and simple. We have these things called hospitals that have morphed into giant temples where humans go to identify with and worship their pain. These places are also used as money laundering operations for deep state shenanigans. And in most of these temples of pain worship, humans are butchered, bankrupted, and buried. The only way to change this is to stop using them. How do we do this? Won't we get sick from time to time? Yes. But if we think about it, it's easy peasy, lemon squeezy. We start by taking better care of our minds and our bodies. We eat according to our type. We don't eat things we are sensitive to, allergic to. We engage in moderate but daily exercise. We make sure we are properly hydrated. And we learn that in addition to the physical body, there is an energy body, and the two must work together. Eating well, power walks and stretches are lovely and necessary, but so is daily breath meditation and adequate time for leisure activities. Is it that simple? Yes, it is. But we all have to do it, and it's not a question of action, really. It's a shift in consciousness. And if it sounds overwhelming, start with small things. Here's one I can think, are you often constipated? I pick that because most Americans are. So instead of taking stool softener every night, eat more fiber, drink more water, go for a walk after meals, eat less quantity and more quality, skip happy hour. You can do this. You're an adult. You have big girl and big boy panties. We can do this. Let's use hospitals for things like essential surgery or fixing a broken limb, for imagery and diagnostics. I'm the first to admit the diagnostics these days are bloody amazing. Gosh, I had last year, I wasn't very well. As we know, I did CAT scans and PET scans and things down one end and stuff stuck up the other end and all of that. And wow, the level of detail is pretty incredible. But the everyday things, the maintenance of your bodies, we should be doing our own oil changes. That's what I'm trying to say. Okay. The establishment cannot sell you services that you don't show up for. And that's it for Quack today. Thank you to the martini heads who wrote in, because Quack, by the way, is the reason we started this show in the first place, to unite disenfranchised, spirit-centered patriots who love mixed drinks. Yes, darlings, it's a niche, okay? But there's nothing wrong with coming down to Arnie's boutique. What should we do now? Let's do a tiny pat of poetry. Now, darlings, I don't call myself a poet. I am someone who writes poetry, and I write primarily to entertain. But if you read more into it, thank you. Because, yes, each poem has a message for we the people. Sometimes it is subtle, and sometimes it's like a kick right up the fanny. And if my words tickle your funny bone, feel free to follow me on Substack. There is a link directly from my website, arnieavedisian.com, and it's free. You don't have to pay to be triggered by my stuff. It's free. You can be unsettled and triggered by my poems at no cost to you or your family. And how cool is that? So here's one. I'm going to share two poems with you today because it's my podcast and I can. Here's one I wrote the other day about, how I sit in my office, because mostly my work is on Zoom. I mean, about 30% of the time I actually show up to physical house clearings, depending if people want to fly me out or whatever. I mean, I'll show up for work, obviously in person if I can. But most of the time I'm sitting in my office, staring out of the window, in between Zoom calls. And this is the poem I wrote. It's called Sometimes I Drink Sherry and Watch My Neighbors and Make Up Little Stories About Them. Here we go. The chap across the road is quite a chubby lad. We don't know what he does, but we suspect it's AutoCAD. We also have a hunch, but it might just be hot air, that he is what the gay men call a very hairy bear. Then there's the Indian couple and their well-maintained Impala. The woman is a snotty bitch, not my blend of masala. All in all, the man seems chill, though his wife is quite the pill. The thought of sleeping next to her, well, it makes me ill. We lost a pair of patriots who lived just to our left. They bought a house because paying rent made them so depressed. I miss our chats on shotguns and green dot versus red. I miss talking with people who are normal in the head. There used to be a skinny guy who stood outside to smoke. He looked so pale and itchy, I think he may have croaked. And what happened to the Russian guy? I think his name was Yuri. I used to think he was a spy sent to end me prematurely. Across the way, to the right, and nearer the gazebo, lived Large Marge and Olive Oil and their dog, Placebo. One fine day they disappeared, just like that, kaboom! Where they went, no one knows. No note, no sonic boom. For 20 years, I've sat and stared out of my office window. I've watched the world and tried to learn its customs and its lingo. I can feel the terror in both the lowborn and the high. Some days I can help folks. Some days I drink rye. That's sort of how I feel, you know? Some days I do believe the weight of our worlds, you know, the weight of our words can make dry land for people. And there are other days where people are just going to drown. It is what it is. We do our best. That's all we can do. And this other little one is a little fun thing I wrote. It was inspired by some of the interactions I have with my private spirit-centered Patriot Telegram group, which if you do want to join that, I'll just give you a hint. We're all Trump supporters, we're all libertarians or Republicans, and we're all patriots. You have to send me a private email, aniavedisian.com, because we don't like trolls and weird people. So this one's called, I was checking in with my Telegram group yesterday, and the discussion was about forgiveness. My least favorite misunderstood subject. So here we go. I was chit-chatting with my homies about Christmas stuff, elves and gnomies, when the discussion took a slight turn towards the weird, like Jules Verne. It started out as science fiction and someone's Star Trek addiction, and then, not that it's anyone's business, the discussion switched to forgiveness. Since none of this is actually real, is that why life rapidly loses its appeal? I mean, it's far from magical and mysterious if life is one long, eternal experience. Incarnations, that's where we hone our skills. Heaven gets boring. We need some chills and thrills. We're all quarterbacks writing our play, hoping to march out, kick, and slay. Mistakes are bound to be made, thank God. Why incarnate if perfect? That would be odd. Serenity rocks, but all things need balance. One is the bed, the other the valance. This is my viewpoint. This is my law. Who the fuck cares what you did before? The moment will come when you'll understand. It's where you are now that gives the command. Oh, I did like that one. That's one of my better ones. You know, I like all my poems, without having delusions of grandeur or big ego about them. I enjoy them. I don't set out to pretend I'm Carol Ann Duffy or Williams w Wordsworth. I don't want to work that hard. I just formulate my thoughts and say, how can I share what I'm feeling with the world today? And would it be of value? And of course, the answer is, of course, my thoughts are always of value to the world. So I put it in a poem. And then my partner, theatre arts major and English teacher extraordinaire, comes and does all the hard copy editing and cleans up the grammar for me and everything. And we present it on Substack. So go to my Substack, have some fun with it, and don't take yourself so seriously. And now, darlings, as that last poem was a perfect segue into the next segment, I wish to share with you a shameless marketing plug for my Ego Busters group. This is a Zoom group. We meet every second and fourth Monday of each month at 4 p.m. and 7 p.m. Pacific time. The content is the same for both sessions. We are trying to accommodate as many time zones as we can. And this group is, it exists to understand exactly what the ego is. So, whatever you're struggling with, understanding ego programming is the answer. You can be someone with serious addiction issues or someone whose life is just a few degrees short of fulfilling. This is a casual, fun-centered group where we discuss how to live a fulfilling life. However we wish to phrase it, all of mankind's problems do stem from a false sense of separation from the allness, from source energy. And there are many reasons for this, but they all lead back to the root cause, a deliberate and relentless campaign by the overlords of this planet to keep mankind distracted from its divine roots and its cosmic potential, to keep us continually at war with ourselves. And of course, there can be no permanent peace in the world until we are at peace within. And we are not at peace within. Look around. So with the Ego Busters, we started out a couple of years ago as a Course in Miracles. We did that for a couple of years, and then we spent a year doing Stoicism. Starting January the 12th, this coming year, which starts tomorrow, starting January the 12th, I have a whole new mixed media curriculum. And the whole point of it is to discover what you really are and just how to negotiate life in the world of Earthcraft. So we discuss all the known metaphysical and philosophical concepts. We review them, we challenge them, we discuss them, we contemplate them. We ask, why are so many of us afraid to look within and engage in self-honesty? How will we have healthy relationships with others if our own sense of self is dysfunctional? And once we understand our true nature, whatever it is, our true nature is source energy, however you want to explain that. That's your true nature, not your human experience. Once we understand our true nature, which is pure, unblemished cosmic energy, having temporary individualized manifestations as humans on Earth, we can define and refine the authentic self. In other words, we can align our personalities with source and turn our dystopian world into a utopian playground. Because life is not about endless suffering. We are cosmic creations. We came here to expand consciousness, not to diminish it. We came to sing, not to shrink. So this group seeks to understand the ego self, and that will give us the tools for permanent change. It will allow us to move away from the traditional self-help band-aid of the New Age mumbo-jumbo rubbish and shift our perception to a place where it cannot be corrupted by the propaganda machine. Oh my God, Arnie, this sounds fantastic. I agree, Arnie. 3 years this group has been going, and we're all making fabulous progress. So come with us, join us. If you aim to cultivate and celebrate the authentic self, do you struggle with addiction? Any kind of addiction? Are you too fat? Are you too thin? Are you a procrastinator? Are you suffering from depression and lack of motivation? Are you stuck in past trauma? Do you still think you're a liberal? Do you feel hopeless? Have you slipped into victim mode? Perhaps everything's sort of okay, but kind of funky and you don't quite feel like you're in your groove. Understanding the difference between your programmed mind and the authentic self is the key to personal freedom. Now, that said, who wrote that copy? It's brilliant. I think it was me. This is not a group for people wanting validation for their poor decisions in life. This is not the place where all the women come and get out their handkerchiefs and go, oh, yeah, he was so horrible to me. And oh my God, how did I put up with it? For 55 years, I let him abuse me. No. Okay. All right. That is victim mode. We don't do that. This is a group for people who wish to understand what blocks them from being the best version of themselves. The authentic self understands and accepts accountability. Sovereignty comes after accountability. It doesn't make sense. Sovereignty doesn't make sense to people until they understand responsibility, the correct response, the correct reaction to something. Accountability, then comes the sovereignty understanding. The truth will set us free. But prepare for a wild and crazy ride before total liberation, because you need to experience everything that you have shoved down inside of you so that it will never, ever trigger you again. Now, all of that said, do it. Bring a sense of humor. It's me. I'm fun. I'm also very good at my job, and quite often completely sober. So I guarantee you many laughs along the way. As we say, in my group, when the spirit inhabits the human, all minds will be illumined. So go to my website, aniavidison.com. Look at the Ego Buster section if you have any questions on it at all. Send me an email. But we meet, like I said, twice a month. And the first session is on January the 12th, 2026. And darlings, oh my God, I think that might be almost it for today's show. Let me finish my excellent drinky poo. Oh dear, Arnie, I already did finish my excellent drinky poo. And that always means the end of the show. I hope you enjoyed listening in as much as I enjoyed recording it because I had a blast. I always do. Catching up with my martini head homies is something I genuinely look forward to. Today's a real life cocktail was delicious, actually. It's called a Southern Baptist, and here's how you make it. 2 ounces of bullet rye whiskey. Yes, there is a difference. 1 ounce of fresh lime juice, fresh, as in the lime is, big and green and shiny, and you cut it and squeeze it. That's fresh. 3/4 of an ounce of ginger syrup. And for garnish, I use a candied lime twist because, I'm so sophisticated, but you can just use a fresh lime rind if you prefer. How I made it? Well, I followed the instructions. I poured all the liquid ingredients into a cocktail shaker with cracked ice. I shaky, 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 hard, 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 strain and pour into a chilled cocktail glass and enjoy. Now, why did I use bullet rye? Bullet rye is good. You don't need to spend more. I've drunk all the Basil Hayden stuff and I've drunk stuff that's $100 a bottle, and I'm never going to say no to that stuff. It's lovely. But if you want a good rye whiskey that you can sip neat or put into cocktails, for example, it's brilliant in a Manhattan. It's also really good to sip neat with a nice cold lager beer chaser. So, don't break the bank. Just get yourself some bullet rye. It's very, very good. As for the ginger syrup, look, it's really easy to make your own ginger syrup. I'm going to give you the recipe in a minute, but you can also buy it in stores. I will advise not buying the cheapest bottle of ginger syrup, by the way. I use something called Liquid Alchemist Ginger Syrup. It's about $22 a bottle, but it's well worth it. And the bullet rye should set you back about 24 to 26, I think. So that's not too bad. But with the homemade ginger syrup, okay, 1 cup of water, 1 cup of sugar, 1 cup of peeled and chopped ginger. Get a saucepan. I sounded very London there. Get a saucepan, missus. In a saucepan, combine the water, sugar, and chopped ginger. Bring the mixture to a boil, stirring occasionally, and you want the sugar to completely dissolve. Reduce the heat. Let the mixture simmer for about 30 minutes. Allow the ginger to infuse its essence into the syrup. Infuse. You can even do little prayers and little, witchy things over it. Then remove the saucepan from the heat. Let the syrup cool. Strain the syrup to remove the ginger pieces. Transfer it to a clean glass jar or a bottle. And then store it in the fridge for up to a month and enjoy over ice cream or in your cocktails or whatever. But it really is that easy. Now, remember, folks, cocktails are great if they are an occasional treat. If you use top shelf ingredients and take the art of mixology seriously, one drink, Arnie Avedisian, one drink is all you need. Big shout out and genuine thanks to Mystical Wares in Mount Vernon, Washington, for graciously arranging the intergalactic distribution of this show. Hello to my friends and fans in Mars and Venus and on the moon. Mystical Wares is your one-stop shop for all things metaphysical. And if you can't make it to the Mount Vernon shop, check out their website, mysticalwares.com. Online or on location, you'll be sure to give them a standing ovation. Huzzah for Mystical Wares in Mount Vernon, Washington. Huzzah! I'm Arnie, mad as the day is long, Avedisian. This was Metaphysical Martini, a production of Cosmic Reality Radio, to whom we are most grateful. Mwah, mwah, mwah. Until we meet again, call out corruption wherever you find it. If you encounter opposition, make a big hullabaloo. Never give up. Never surrender. Always carry a sidearm. And we can all make America great again if we let the spirit inhabit the human.
You have been listening to The Metaphysical Martini with Ani Alphadesian, the Mad Shaman, a production of CosmicReality.com.